Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 3. And really the idea is sometimes in holiday seasons we kind of get our eyes off the Lord and our eyes on ourselves. And sometimes it is easy, even though we have great blessings, to say, woe is me. And so I'm just reminded of King David and just the troubles and trials that he went through in life. And really, if you look at 2 Samuel chapter 15, this is really probably where this comes from. When David is on the run for his life, when his son was trying to kill him and take away the throne. And so just remember, in troubles and trials, there's always a blessing that God has for us if we'll trust in him. And God has promised to deliver his people in those times of need. And so what a great picture we'll have today as we look at Psalms chapter 3 and recognize how it applies to our lives. And so let me read to you. Out of the book of Psalms, Psalms 3 says, Lord, how they are increased that trouble me. Many are they that rise against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, and my glory, and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept, and I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people, and they have set themselves round about me. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for your power and might. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And your word says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And so, Lord, today we ask that you be amongst us, that you help us in those times that are tough, that you may help us to understand that you're in control and have a great blessing in store for all those that call upon your name. So, Lord, today I pray that you would speak through me, that you would give me unction, that you let me speak clearly and boldly in such a way that all could understand. And, Lord, I pray today that we'd all in our troubles and trials seek you, that you may do a mighty work. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that when your word is read, do not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Well, it's been said when a person of experience meets a person of money, that the person of experience walks away with the money, and the person with the money walks away with an experience. Sometimes in life it's like that. We learn that not all life is rosy, that sometimes people take advantage of us. Sometimes hardships hit, and they are not good or fun. And the reason I want to preach to this today, because again, I've mentioned in the holiday season, it is easy to look around and see others and then look at yourself and say, woe is me that I have it so bad. But I want you to recognize in life that God has a plan for every believer. For those that truly call upon him, for those that trust in him, for those that seek him, God has that promise that he will deliver. And let me just tell you this, it may not be the delivery that you think you need, but is the perfect one that God has for you. God has always promised to be there for us. And so let me just share some things in this passage that hopefully we can relate to our own lives and be better for it. First, there's the problems in life, the problems in life. And I'm telling you, there's no one here that does not have a problem of some sort. There are troubles and trials. That is just a fact of life. Problems are a part of life. Remember James chapter 1, which I've quoted a bunch of times in the last several months. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, or you could say diverse troubles. John chapter 16, verse 33, but these things I've spoken to you, that in the world you may have peace, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so we're going to have tribulation. Problems happen to everyone, no matter how good you think you are, even in the eyes of the Lord. Problems happened even to Job. Job was an upright and perfect man in Job chapter 1, verse 8. The fall has created a world that is hostile and hard in which we live. Again, we all have problems, and we will have problems until the Lord returns. Why, you say? Well, I'm telling you, we need to recognize that we will have problems. That's why I'm saying all these things, for you to have an understanding that you may not have a problem today, but tomorrow you might. Or the next day you will. Sooner or later, problems will hit your life. So notice this. There is the multitude of problems. David said in verse 1, Lord, how they are increased that trouble me. It is clear that David's eyes recognized there were many against him. It just seemed to get worse and worse and worse. The old saying is true, when it rains, it pours. David started out with a little problem, and then another problem, and then another problem. Before you know it, it seemed like he was overwhelmed with problems around about him. And so I want you to recognize today that your life may be exactly like that, that you had a problem, but now there's another problem, and you just come out of that one, and then there's another problem. You say, oh my goodness, how can I deal with this? Well, just recognize problems are out there. For David, problems included people, just as it is for us. David had Absalom. Before that, he had King Saul. Before that, he had Goliath. He had many problems that always were after him. And so I want you to recognize in our life, we'll have people that will cause problems. If you have a group of people, sooner or later, there will be troubles and trials. That always comes from the idea of selfishness. James chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even if you're all lust at war in your members?" And so you're going to have a problem sooner or later with the people that you deal with on a daily day basis. It may be a problem in your marriage. It may be a problem in your family, in your church. Anytime you have a group of people, you will have problems. I like to think about church because I think people say, "Oh man, things are going great down there at Sardis," and they are. And I don't know that we've got a big problem yet, or not that I know of. You may tell me after the service, "Amen, we've got a problem with that," but it's okay. We'll deal with that. But recognize when you have a group of people, there will be some problems. You have problems in business. You have problems in sports. You have problems everywhere. And so we recognize we have problems because we live in a world of imperfect people. And so we need to get this idea that we must trust in the Lord to help us overcome those problems, to get past our own selfishness. By the way, there's no place you can go to get away from problems. I learned a long time ago, it didn't matter which town you lived in, there was the same people that lived in that town. Oh, they looked a little different. They had different last names. Same people. I learned by going when I was in a church in Alabama, some of those same people are here today. They look a little different. They have different last names, but they still have the same attitudes and actions. You cannot get away from problems by just moving away. And let me say this lastly. If you constantly have trouble with others, you may want to take some time and look in the mirror and find that common denominator. Amen. Sometimes the problem is right there in front of you looking back. So your problem may be with people. It may be a personal sickness or disease. As a pastor, many have called over the years and said, "I've got some terrible news. Can I share with this so you can pray for me?" Cancer and hardships and trials, all kinds of illnesses that people have. Sometimes it's particular events called calamities. Something terrible happens in our life. And we've all had those that seem to overwhelm us. But there's another one I want to share. That's the paranormal one. That is the actions of Satan. And it seems that lately I've been preaching on this and recognize that Satan is on his desires to overthrow us, to help us to be knocked down. You say, "Well, he can't touch me." Well, let me ask you, if he can touch Job, he can surely mess with you. And the reason I'm saying this is because there seems to be a resurgence in witchcraft today and all the things that they're doing. I'm telling you, when you dabble in those things that are not good, it is not good for your life. You cannot get away from problems by dabbling in that. It creates more problems. Nothing new. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says this, "Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's speaking about Satan, "the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." 2 Corinthians 4 says, "In whom the god of this world," speaking about Satan, "has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." And so we have an enemy out there trying to cause problems in our life. We must recognize that problems are there. But this one called Satan is limited by the Lord. He's only allowed to persecute just so far. Matter of fact, he had to ask permission to touch the life of Job. But yet he was still used to chastise wayward believers in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Matter of fact, let me read that. Paul writes, "To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." And so there are problems out there. If you got problems, hang in there. It will get better. The multitude of problems. But now notice this, not just the multitude of problems, but the muttering from those problems. Verse 2 says, "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." I've already mentioned the problems. The enemy's out there doing everything to steal and kill and destroy. They want to steal your hope and peace. They want you to live a defeated life. But I'm telling you, we need to overcome that. But here is an issue that helps the enemy when we listen to others whisper how we are defeated. The enemy will tell you that you are no good, that you have no value, that you are used and worthless, that you are marred, and that you are all alone, that no one cares. I'm sure David sat there listening to others saying, Absalom has overcome the throne. There is no hope for you. Absalom will kill you. Absalom is not doing these things to help you but to harm you. I'm sure David listened to the negativity. And so in our life today, if we're not careful, we'll listen to the negativity around us. When we get down, don't listen to the naysayers. Recognize and listen to the one who has all power and authority, that is the Lord Jesus. Listen to him. Help us overcome issues in our life. Sometimes our worst enemy is not those around us, but those that are in that mirror that whisper constantly that you are no good, that you cannot overcome. I'm reminded of David again. When David fights Goliath, we all know the story. The story is so great how little David stands before Goliath and slays the giant. But remember, he had to listen to all kind of negativity in his life before he even got to that point. Remember, little David had to fight three giants that same day. The first giant was his brother. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26, David's speaking about all the things that he heard about who can slay this giant. And his brother, verse 28 says, and Eliab, his elder brother, heard when he spake these things. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest down thou hither? And with whom you have left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart, for thou art come down that thou seest the battle. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? Eliab said, you're worthless. Get back to those few sheep. You can't do anything. Shame on you, David. A negative word that was put there to make David return home. Then he had to face another giant named King Saul. He said, I can fight the giant. And King Saul said in 1 Samuel 17, and Saul said to David, you were not able to go get the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. King Saul said, there's no way you can beat this guy. You can't do this. And David's thinking, oh, yes, I can. Then David faced the Goliath, the giant himself. And then notice in verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And so he's already mentioned that the giant has already said, I'm going to devour you, I'm going to kill you. But David did not listen to those. He listened to the one that lived in him. He listened to the Lord. So what I'm trying to say today, you can have problems and trials, and you're going to either listen to the outside voices, or maybe an inside voice that is negative, or you can listen to God Almighty that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I wonder today, will you overcome your worst enemy, which is you, that inside voice, and listen to the Lord? So let me finish this point by saying you will have problems in life. That's just a part of living in this fallen world. But today, when you recognize problems will come, there's no way around it, but you can trust the Lord to help overcome those problems. Will you recognize that when you have a problem, that you are not alone and that there is help? Will you understand that God sees those and is willing and able to help you when you call upon his name? You say, how do you know all these things? Well, notice not just the problems in life, but now the protector in life, the protector in life. Notice David recognized his troubles were many, but he also recognized the Lord was greater. Notice the Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our refuge in verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. David recognized there was somebody that would help him. He knew the enemy would be throwing spears against him. He knew the enemy would be coming to overwhelm him. But he says, the Lord is my shield. It was this idea of a help in the time of battle. And so the shield, you all know, was used to lead the way in one sense, to be held up. And so with the enemy threw the spears or the arrows or the darts, the shield would be out in front protecting him from those things. But here's a thought. How effective this shield is determined how big it is and how much it is used. Let me say that again. How effective the shield is determined by how big it is and how much it is used. For the shield to be effective, you must be behind the shield. I hear a lot of people talk today in this society about the Lord and all those things, but I wonder how many truly rest behind the shield of God. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, above all, let me say that again, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith. It's the idea of a believer hiding behind Christ, who is that shield. But it is by this idea of faith in him. And so the size of Christ as your shield in life, in part, is determined by you. Let me say that again. The size of Christ as your shield in your life, in part, is determined by you. If you truly believe, if you trust Him, if you get behind Him, if you allow Him to be in front, oh my goodness, how much more effective the shield of Christ is. The Lord is our refuge, but it doesn't stop there. The Lord is also our Redeemer. Verse 8 says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. He is the one that saves us, not ourselves. David recognized that. David had been through so many different things. When you read David's account of his life, even when he's standing before King Saul, he recounts of the lions and the bears. Later on, he would recount of the giant. He would recount of those things that God delivered him from. He recognized that salvation is from God, that he was not the one behind all this, but God was. Now, David did not live a perfect life by no means, but he understood that God would be there for him in all these troubles and trials. Matter of fact, if you look at his current troubles, part of David's issue is he was a poor parent. He did not do as he should with Absalom, and man, what a big mess it was. And yet we would find that God, after David turned back to the Lord, really delivers him. He understood mercies of the Lord and how the Lord had forgiven him of sins and iniquities. And so when it comes to salvation, there's really two aspects we'll deal with this morning. One is a physical salvation that we all need is, Lord, deliver me from this trouble and trial right now. And so we find in 1 Samuel 17, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. I'm trying to mention now that we all need deliverance from this present world. We all need physical deliverance from our troubles and trials. Nothing wrong with that. I think there's part of this idea that we need Him to get through every day. We surely need the Lord. Remember, He is here also to help us, but not really always here to pamper us, as Paul would say, but to perfect us spiritually. So sometimes we will have some issues physically, no doubt. And there's nothing wrong with praying for physical things of life. Matter of fact, Jesus prayed for His daily bread. But we must remember that is not the greatest salvation we can have. It's not just from our physical infirmities that the Lord desires to deliver, but it is our spiritual salvation, the salvation of the soul that God truly wants to deliver. I'm so glad today that it's for everyone that calls upon Him. For the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Many come for physical healings or physical deliveries or physical salvation. But I wonder sometimes, do they truly come from a spiritual salvation? How do I know? Because so many times they come and they pray and they say, Lord, deliver me, and the Lord does. And yet they forget all of His benefits. They leave Him behind. They don't truly focus on Him going forward from that day forward. They're just satisfied with a physical salvation rather than a spiritual salvation. We should truly trust in Him. And if you've never called upon Him, why not today? If you've never sought Him for the spiritual salvation that He truly desires, the physical salvation lasts for maybe 100 years if you're lucky. But the eternal salvation never stops. That is the one that God truly wants to give to you today. That spiritual salvation that saves the soul of man. So the Lord is our refuge, the Lord is our Redeemer, but also the Lord is our Restorer. He says in verse 3 again, but thou, Lord, art a shield to me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. David understood that things were not good now, but soon he would be lifted back up. If you remember, going back again to 2 Samuel 15, when David had to leave the city, it says David went up by the ascent of Mount Olive. He went up and wept as he went, had his head covered, and he went out barefoot, and all the people with him covered everyone his head. They went out weeping as they went up. When David had to flee the city, it was a sad day. They went out covered up shamefully. But he trusted God to bring him back, to lift him back up, to put him where he was supposed to be. David trusted the Lord would help him in his times of need. The Bible says this, perhaps one of my favorite verses of all times. I've got many, it seems like. But Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God wants to work things out for good in our life. The Lord does not want to just save you and leave you, but bless you and help you as you walk this thing called Christianity, that you may be an influence for others to know Him. David had a trust that led to a confidence that the Lord would help him. Verse 4 says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. His confidence came because he was a man of prayer. David prayed because prayer connected us and him with the one who has all power and authority. All through the Bible, people prayed, and the Lord does miraculous things. I think about Moses. Look at the book of Exodus and Numbers. So many times they were down and out the people of Israel, and Moses prayed. Moses cried out. Moses called, and God delivered. I think about Jonah in the belly of the whale. Jonah cries out, and he says, out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. And we know the story there that God delivered Jonah. Nehemiah, standing before the king, was in danger there for a moment, crying out quickly and very fast, and the Lord heard him and gave him wisdom to speak. You could say Saul on the road to Damascus, when he was thrown down, he had a time of prayer. Lord, what would thou have me to do? And God used him. So many times we speak about flare prayers. I'm a fan of that. Yes, we ought to pray regularly, but when we quickly pray, God hears. You say, well, why would God do such a thing to answer our prayers? The psalmist said it like this in Psalms 103:13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God, as our Father, desires the best for us, to help us and use us. And so when we seek him, God surely helps. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. John 14:14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But you got to read the previous verse. It says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So let me ask you, do you have that protector in life? Do you have the one that will help you? Do you need help today? Call upon the Lord. Do you want help today? Pray and seek his face. Will you trust that the Lord will help, believing that he is able? I'm telling you, we must believe in him. David did, and he was delivered. Well, let me show you the last thing. Not just the problems in life and the protector in life, but now the peace in life. Some great things happen when you trust in the Lord. Some great things take place in your life when you trust him. Again, let me quote John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you that you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but notice this part. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Peace comes from knowing God is in control and working things out for right. So notice the things that David had. One, the sleep from the Lord. I laid me down and slept. Have you ever had a night with no sleep because of worry? Have you ever had a night that was like, oh my, you got up and you got down. Matter of fact, it was so bad that you got on the side of the bed and you're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And you worried in front of you. You said, well, preacher, how do you know about that? Amen. I've been there just like all of us. But in those times, it is good to say, Lord, I can't, but you can. And it's amazing the peace we have when we are simply allowing him to take care of us. And so he said, I have slept. I've laid me down and slept. I had a little note here. It says, Dennis, the psalmist must be in the Lord's house. Amen. Man, how good it is when we have a good night of sleep. The world is looking for a sleep like that, for a sense of peace. They try to find it in a pill bottle or a bill bottle or a beer bottle. They're looking for something to cover their troubles. But I'm telling you, only the Lord can straighten every trouble out. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The psalmist had sleep, the sleep from the Lord. But he also had the security from the Lord, the security from the Lord. Verse 7 says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Broken the teeth of the ungodly. It is a picture of going against a wild animal and knocking the teeth out, knocking the jawbone, breaking so the wild animal has no power to devour. And so we find that David recognized that when this thing came against him that was toothless, you may say, he would not be harmed. And by the way, we look at all the things in life that try to harm us and try to devour us. Maybe the greatest thing is death itself, but I'm reminded that even Christ knocked the teeth out of death. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul does, he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is the victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter your troubles and trials today, just know this, that God is able to deliver and has broken the teeth out of those things that would try to devour you. Well, we go from sleep to security to really the self-confidence from the Lord, the self-confidence from the Lord. He says this in verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. I will not be afraid. There is a confidence that comes when you live for the Lord. A confidence knowing that He is able. A confidence knowing that you're in the right place. A confidence knowing that He has you and He will never let you go. 146 times in the book of Psalms it says, I will or I will not. I will not fear. I will walk. I will be glad. I will sing. I will bless. I will extol. I will shout. I will confess. I will praise. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised in Psalms 18:3. I will bless thee while I live. I will lift my hands in thy name. I will. David had a confidence, even in this time of despair, even when he was running for his life, even when he understood that there seemed to be no hope, that God was there. He was working behind the scenes and was able to deliver him, and God did. Hopefully this morning you will say, I will trust the Lord. I will be delivered. I will serve Him. I will praise His name. And you can do that by calling upon the name of the Lord. Somebody wrote this song, the Lord is our rock, in Him we hide, secure whatever ill betide. A shade by day, defense by night, no fears, alarms, no foes aright. And the raging storms may around us beat, we'll never leave our safe retreat. O rock divine, O refuge dear, be thou helper ever near. So if you're here today, let me just give you an invitation. You may have troubles and trials and hardships that maybe nobody knows about, but one does, the Lord Almighty. And God, as a father that pities His children, pities us and desires that we may have His help. And so He has offered that this morning. If you would just simply call upon Him, right where you sit this morning, say, Lord Jesus, I need help. You know what it is. Please help me. There is a Redeemer. There is a Protector. There is a Helper that is promised to be for us when we trust in Him. And so this morning, that's the invitation. Will you trust Him? Will you allow Him to be your shield and your refuge? Will you allow Him to be your peace that passes all understanding? He's calling. I wonder, will you respond with, I will allow you to live in me, help me, encourage me, protect me, be there for me. God's calling how you respond. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads just for a moment. Think about your life. Just in the quietness of the moment, how will you respond to God? David was overwhelmed and yet trusted, and God delivered. David was far from his house many times, running for his life, overwhelmed again, called on the Lord, and was helped. If that's you this morning and you need help, I'm here to tell you, the Word of God says you can be helped as well. The same God that helped David is the God that helps us. The same God that delivered in those days is the God that delivers today. So while you look around and see others giving praises of thanksgiving, and you can't, why not ask the Lord to help you? Turn those woes into blessings, to turn those hardships into heralded praises, that you lift up the Lord's name and give Him praise. God's calling this morning when you come. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you, Lord, for your power, your might. We thank you, Lord, for seeing us in our troubles and trials and willing to help us. Lord, I pray that we be a people this morning that even in our hardships, we'd be able to praise your name, knowing with a confidence that you're able and that you're there to help us. So, Lord, work on our hearts today. Help us to leave this place in your will. Bless your people with great power and understanding. Help us now in Jesus' name.